So this is Fit as a Fiddle, and we're all about health and wellness. And so the first thing that I want to do to just kind of show everyone what we're all about is I'm going to share my screen. I don't have it pulled up, so bear with me as I pull it up, but I'm going to pull up our meetup group if I can do that here. So bear with me just a moment while I find our meetup group. Here are all the groups that go with our organization. And right here is our Fit as a Fiddle. So I'm going to click on that one. It'll take a minute to load. I've got so many windows open. That's probably the problem. That always happens when I have this many windows open. I suppose I could close a few. Here we go. So this is our Fit as a Fiddle. It's all about health and wellness. And I just kind of want to review what we're all about. And so I'm Kathy Benner, and this is Rita, my co-host on the call with me. And so I'll just kind of overview this. In a dynamic world of health and wellness, being fit as a fiddle takes on a multifaceted meaning. Traditionally associated with physical well-being, fit as a fiddle now encompasses four vital domains: the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. And then, Rita, you're just getting ready to do a speech on the seven pillars. So we'll maybe let you talk about that for a little bit. But we invite you to join us on this transformative journey as we delve into the comprehensive insights and practices to elevate your well-being in each of these dimensions. Now, in the past, fit not only referred to health, but it also to being well-suited for a specific purpose. So in our program, Fit as a Fiddle Plus, we aspire or redefine and amplify your readiness for life's endeavors across all realms. And are you prepared to take your health and wellness to the next level? Let's embark on this holistic exploration together, ensuring you are well suited for the success in every facet of your life. So I'm a firm believer that, oh, Kat just answered. She said, oh, goodness, yes. So she'll be popping on. So anyway, I'm a firm believer that health comes before wealth. And so that is why I kept this as one of the lanes in my academy. When I put together my academy, it was all about passive income and coaching and, you know, all that good stuff. And somebody goes, well, how does health and wellness fit in with all of that? And so I really thought at one time that I might take that particular lane out, because it did kind of seem to be the odd topic. But the more I thought about it, I did not. I kept it in because I believe that health comes before wealth. So every day, and I'm going to stop sharing my screen. So every day, I am a firm believer that you have to start your day with doing all the right stuff for all the right reasons for your health. And I don't always. I sometimes get behind the eight ball. And then I go, oh, I didn't eat right today, or I didn't exercise like I should have today, or, you know, I sat behind the computer too long today. I mean, you know, sometimes those things do get in the way. But I want to say, it's not what you do occasionally, it's what you do all the time. And when you do those things all the time, that's when you get in trouble. So if you're eating the wrong stuff all the time, it's going to catch up to you. If you're not exercising all the time, that's when it's going to catch up to you. So you have to kind of get into a system. And I don't know about you, but I think we all kind of like our traditions and our, you know, the way that we like to do things. We're all a little bit set in our ways. So I like to get into a rhythm where I kind of do the same. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but I brush my teeth the same way every time I brush my teeth. I take a shower the same way. I always start with my hair. You know, we get into these systems, and the way we do things are very systematic. So if you can add the good health stuff into your daily routines, it's going to be huge for you. Okay. So if you have to write it down, write it down. If you have to plug it in onto a calendar, plug it in onto a calendar to where you're doing the right stuff for the right reasons all the time. And then when you have one of those days where, okay, so I didn't eat right today or whatever, when you have one of those days, then it's not going to derail your entire health and wellness because you're in the normal routine of doing things the right way. So anyway, tap into the Academy. It's under kathybenner.com. You'll find all of our replays in the Academy under the Health and Wellness tab. And when you get into that tab, you'll see the 2024 replays, and that's where you'll find all of our replays. So please feel free to go there and check out the replays. It doesn't cost anything to be a member of the or to jump in to listen to those replays. I am on Teachable platform, so Teachable will ask you to create a Teachable account, but you don't have to pay anything to create a Teachable account. And then when you're in there, if you want to buy one of the courses or buy one of the masterminds, or we have a one-time fee where you can buy the entire academy, you're welcome to do that. But you don't have to get to the free replays. So please feel free to go in there and get those. We also have a speakers cabinet, and I Kat just jumped on. Welcome, Kat. I just listened in as one of our members interviewed her on Friday, and she picked her up out of our speakers cabinet. So I appreciate that. So anyhow, we give all of our speakers and presenters a free spot on our speakers cabinet as a thank you to them for coming on with us to try to help promote their message, because I am a firm believer that the rising tide raises all the ships. And so we want to do everything that we can to help promote the folks that are coming on to help us. So I'm going to turn it over to Rita for just a moment. I want Rita to tell us what she does and what she brings to the table. Rita is my co-host, my co-mod, and then we're going to get busy and talk to Kat. So over to you, Rita.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm always so grateful to be here with you, the podcaster extraordinaire who makes it so easy for me. So I am a physician associate and diabetes reversal coach. So after 30 plus years of practicing as a physician assistant in medical surgical realms, I decided I really wanted to help people transform their health in a way that didn't include just writing more prescriptions all day long. So I really wanted to give them the optimal tools in order to help them be as healthy as they possibly can and reverse as many chronic conditions as possible and reduce the prescription drugs, which many of them desire. So I have my own virtual coaching practice. I do specialize in type 2 diabetes reversal. I also do some things in my community, like local grocery store tours, pantry cleanses. I lead a healthy lifestyles ministry at my church. And I believe that I was just telling Kathy, I'm teaching a seminar coming up on seven pillars of health and wellness. And the first one we got to start out with is the mind, right? Because the body does what the mind tells it. So I'm excited to hear more of what Kat has to share with us today and learn more about her.
Rita, thank you so much. We talked briefly when we first signed on about those seven pillars. Can you run through what those seven pillars are for our audience?
Sure. I mean, they're like my pillars that like there's different associations that have specific pillars, but the ones that I feel like are really important. First one is mindset, nutrition, physical activity, stress reduction, good quality sleep, reducing toxins, and community relationships.
I love it. I love it. Those are all great ones.
Thank you.
And so anyway, that's think about that and whatever those pillars are for you, because if you can Google it, and like she said, there's different organizations that have different pillars. Some of them will include a whole spirituality component in there. Some will do a whole not only mindset, but also manifestations and all kinds of pillars that are a part of the health and wellness. But put together a plan that works for you, and then get it on your calendar. Get it on your calendar and start practicing. And that's what it is. It's practicing. You have to practice every day. And if you just do a little bit better today than you did yesterday, that is a success. You don't have to turn your life around overnight. And again, I think that's what happens. I think so many of us think, I don't know about you, but when I go on a diet, if I haven't lost 50 pounds by Saturday, I'm disappointed. Well, we all know that's not going to work that way. And so it's, but we do, we think, well, that's not working, so throw that out. And so what happens is then we just don't do it. And we just keep saying, well, someday I'm going to do that. Someday I'm going to take better care of myself. And so you just have to start, get it on your calendar, do a little bit better today than you did yesterday, and that is a success. So with that, we are going to talk to Kat. Now, again, like I said, I've interviewed Kat once before. Amazing conversation. I love it. And Kat, don't feel bad. Rita and I have been on a marathon Zoom call today. So we were like, whoo, back again. So it's been a long, I'm sorry.
The time came up fast. Today just kind of flew by. Yeah.
4 o'clock came fast today because because we've all been on other calls today. So anyway, Kat deeply understands depression, anxiety, and how incredibly difficult it is to climb out of that dark mindset. After 26 years of suffering from her own deeply negative thoughts, she embarked on a mindset journey to learn how to create a life of inner happiness and peace, regardless of the circumstances happening around her. Now, she's written a book. And her whole book is called A New Way to Think About Thinking. I love it. There's the book. So write it down for everybody that's listening. Make sure you get a copy of the book. It's a culmination of that journey. And inside those pages, you'll find relatable stories and straightforward, actionable steps that will transform your life. So I love it. I've got the book. I've got a bookcase, by the way. Your book is like front and center in my bookcase. So tell us a little bit about your personal journey and what actually led you to write a book about it.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me and for allowing me to be a few minutes behind schedule. And I love today, Rita, I love what you are doing. In 2019, so 4.5 years ago, I started my own health journey after being like fully toxic. And I had to go on an elimination diet and eventually became like a plant-based eater. And to your point, Kathy, it was not a straight line and I didn't do it perfectly. But every time I made a meal, I did a little bit better. And now here I am, 2.5 years into full vegan, and I can't believe how it changed my life, but it wasn't an overnight thing. And I still tweak and learn. So anyway, I love what you're doing, Rita. I love, like, I'm 54 and I'm on no meds, and I want to keep it that way for as long as I can. And I think that it is possible to live a healthy life. And I 100% agree that stress reduction, mindset, removal of toxic relationships, like, that all starts with a mindset. And it's funny because that's where I started at 36 years old. When I woke up one day and I just thought, I can't live this way anymore. Relationships in my life were negative. I was negative. I had been negative since I was very young. And so, that was kind of the beginning of my journey after suffering for so long. My sister and I called it, and I know other people who come from alcoholic households have heard this. That's kind of the when is the other shoe going to drop syndrome, where you just grow up with such trauma and turmoil that you never know when you become an adult when the thing's going to happen that's going to like slam you back to the ground. And it just becomes ingrained. And I had lived like that for so long that the ups and downs were terrible. So I, what drove me to write this book was when I finally got to a place where I was healed and I healed my mindset, which it's been an 18-year journey. It just really felt to me like I needed to share that knowledge with other people, that it's not enough for me anyway, to live knowing that if I change my mindset, I can change how I eat, I can change my exercise, I can change my relationships. And I always say it's not easy. But you got to choose your hard. You either choose the hard that you're in control of, or you choose the hard that just takes over your life, you know?
Well, it's not easy, but it's certainly worth it.
Oh, it couldn't be
It's
more
certainly
worth it.
worth
I
it.
can't imagine, what having to go down the road just kind of, I say like my life at times felt like it was an unruly ocean and I was just this little boat getting tossed around from one giant insurmountable wave to the next. And when you learn how to control your mindset, then you can learn how to control those inevitable waves that we will have.
So, what was the one, I'll say, defining moment or aha moment, or what was it that made you just say, I'm going to change how I'm thinking? I'm going to change this. Was there one thing? I mean, when did you know that you started changing your mindset?
I actually remember the day very clearly. Like I said, I was 36. I was in the throes of motherhood. My kids were little at the time, and When I say little, I mean probably like 9 and 5-ish, right around there. And I would do all the things all day long and with a smile on my face. And on the inside, I would hate myself. Like, I didn't even think I loved myself. And it was very hard to truly love anything else if I couldn't feel love inside of me. And then I would lay in bed at night and I would be in such turmoil and anxiety, worried about the world, what was going to happen to my children. You know, are they going to be deeply affected? But just everything, the news. And I would cry. Like, I would go into my bathroom while my husband was sleeping and just sob. And one day I woke up and the sun was coming in, kind of like a day like today. And I remember waking up and like opening my eyes. And I always think this is when God places stuff on my heart, because the very first thing I thought was, I never again want to smile to the outside world if I'm crying on the inside. Like, I just don't want to live this way anymore. And that, I remember waking up and just being, it was almost like I surrendered. Like, okay, I can't do this on my own. I don't know how to get better. I had tried, you know, medication. I tried therapy. I tried lots of things, but I couldn't escape what was in my head. And so that morning, I just thought, I can't live this way. And I don't want to live this way anymore. And that was the beginning of buying book after book, going to seminars, listening to anything I could find. I mean, I just fully immersed myself in everything to do with mindset, spirituality, and the law of attraction.
Okay, and so at that point, once you had that moment and you knew, yeah, you said, I'm changing. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know what, but I'm changing.
Mm-hmm.
You just started searching.
Yeah, I went 100, like it was more than a devotion. It became an obsession, because when I first started down the path, I started seeing all the things that I was like doing wrong. And then that made me feel worse, which actually drove me to try to learn more. Because I was like, wait, what do you mean I'm attracting this stuff into my life, you know, and now I'm at fault. And so I went through this like weird space, but I just kept thinking, like, if I just keep going, I'm going to figure this out. And I was obsessed. I'm still obsessed. I mean, to this day, I mean, I have some books behind me. I have an entire room full of, you know, and I go back to books and I listen to stuff. I made the choice to start listening every single day in my car to something, whether it was a book on like an audible, back then it was like a book on tape, but like, you know, and I did that all the way up. And then when COVID hit, I was no longer driving to work. And after maybe like 2 weeks, I started not feeling right. And I realized, like, I'm not feeding myself anymore. I'm not feeding myself spiritually, because I don't have that drive where I'm listening to something. Cause you're in traffic. Mm-hmm. That's 45 minutes to and from work. That's 90 minutes a day where I was, mm-hmm, feeding my mindset. And so, right when I realized that, I started getting up every morning as if I was going to work, getting ready and listening to the things that I like to listen to. And I've never stopped. You know, I do it every single day and I love it.
I love that. I love that. I get it. I used to drive to work too. And then, you know, I had a job where I didn't drive any longer. And it was a great time to kind of work on your mindset, because it's just you in the car and you can listen to, like you said, to the tapes or whatever it is, or, mm-hmm, or to audio that you like to listen to podcasting these days, whatever works.
Yeah.
And it gave me some time to get ready, if you will, for my day. And then coming home, it gave me time to decompress.
Oh yeah.
To come through the door. And when I didn't have that, then I had to make a decision on how was I still going to have that time. And for me, it's walking. I love to put on my, you know, my little headset or my ear pods or whatever, and I can listen while I'm walking. And I also do a lot of my writing that way while I'm walking.
I
love that too. And so I get it. I understand what you're saying. As you were, you're driving and you're listening, and then you had to change how you're thinking, the thing that jumps out at me was that you made a decision. That was a definite time, like you said, you can almost name the day where you made a decision. I think that's going to be an aha moment for the group as we're listening today. If there's things that you want to change in your life, it starts with a decision. And I know that sounds so simple, but it's hard because sometimes we're not accountable. Nobody else knows we've made the decision. So if we don't stick to it, nobody's going to know.
Absolutely.
So did you have a buddy or did you have a group or was there someone that kind of held you accountable to stick to your decision or did you just have that willpower to do it?
Yeah, I think it does work for some people to have an accountability partner. I've always been pretty good at if I set an intention and I was so desperate to find a new way to live, and I just kind of set that intention as my North Star. And so my decisions were born of that intention. So then it becomes, do I want to go to this person's house where I had generated so much negative conversation? Because, you know, when you're in a negative mindset or toxic mindset, like you said, Rita, you end up with toxic friends. And then all of a sudden, if you want to go to a new direction, now you have to make those decisions. Like today, do I want to do this? And that's where the little bit of hard comes in. And so I would make my decisions based on the direction I was trying to go in. And it's just like if you're on like a diet or something like that, and every time you go to eat, you're making a decision. And so I didn't have anybody to be accountable for, but I knew that I could not go into my later year. I felt like I would get sick. That was probably another reason. Like, not only did I feel bad, but I do feel like our emotions and deep stress cause pain and negativity. Like if you're full of resistance and negativity, it manifests as a physical issue. Mm-hmm. And I could go all the way down that path, but I won't, like the chakras and the energy centers and things like that. But I do think, and I had already been reading about stuff like that. And I thought, if I don't get this under control, eventually I'm going to make myself sick. So that was my motivation to do that. And I think that it's good to have accountability from other people. But I think that when you set an intention, a lot of people think that they wait for motivation, and motivation sneaks up and you have a great day with it. And then it goes off to sleep for a few days and you're left with nothing. But every time I do this thing, I'm going to make a decision about it, you know? And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we can't always just rely on that happy, great feeling when we get out of bed, because sometimes we won't feel that way and we just have to push through.
And I'm curious.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just wondering, so what is the content of your book about? I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to read it yet myself. Oh. So what is the book, the content consist of, and who is the person that you really want to read it?
Yeah, thank you. I love that question. So the content, so the book is about teaching you how to, it's a framework for teaching you how to think thoughts that support you instead of sabotage you. So the secondary title of the book is how to take control of your thoughts, create your own inner happiness, and manifest your best life. So the book is a culmination of all the books that I read over the years. And I wrote it for the person that I was, that's similar to me, starting off on the path that's like, where do I start? Do I read mindfulness? Do I read how to make peace with my past? Do I read about the law of attraction? How do I do this? So I learned as I navigated it, I figured out like there's really some steps that, like, if you're trying to manifest something or use the law of attraction in your life and you have all of these autopilot negative thoughts, you really got to make peace with some of that, not all of it, but some of it, if you want to create something in your present moment. So I wrote that book for all the people who are at the door, who are ready to kind of walk through the threshold and say, I really need some help and I don't know where to start and I don't have a lot of time and I can't read books every day and listen to stuff. So give me something that I can take right now that's simple, that I can follow, and that shows me how to do it and not just tells me what to do. So that's what the book is. And that's really who it's for. So I think there are some people who are very experienced at this. Like I'm very experienced after 18 years. I still look at my own stuff and I still do the exercises in the book. But I think also it's really any age group, that it's anybody who's at that door that's like, I need to feel better. I have, you know, these thoughts that run on a loop and I can't get them under control. It's for those kinds of people.
So what I hear you saying, Kat, is that this is a book that you wished you would have had.
Oh, it is. I wrote the book that I wish that I would have started with. Mm-hmm. Because I think if you start here, then you can say, okay, the mindfulness really resonates with me. I'm going to dig into that. Or maybe you read the mindfulness chapter and how to choose your thoughts, but then maybe you get to the forgiveness chapter and you think, I got to do some more work in this space. And then maybe you go find more information in that space. But this book gives you everything you need to get started and see immediate results. Well, when I say immediate, some could happen like right now, but immediate, like within months and not years.
I get it. So if you're reading her book, don't give up by next Tuesday because it didn't work for you. Like we do with dieting.
It's funny that you said that because I do book clubs, and like right now I'm finishing one actually. Tomorrow night is the last night with a group of school teachers in New Jersey, and we did 6 weeks, and so it was like one step at the beginning, then two, and then the two steps at the end. And what, you know, what I found was, to your point, Kathy, is people read about the first step, which, Rita, that's about like becoming aware of negativity in your life, becoming aware of negativity, how your ego, if it's negatively unbalanced, how it is relentless, how we have resistance to things once we've kind of sealed in that negativity. And it talks about how lonely that can be. And I certainly don't say that people shouldn't feel negative, because I do think that you can have negative thoughts and they drive you in the right direction. I'm talking about when we're fully immersed in, you know, in negativity. But I think, you know, when I think about like the school teachers that I've been working with and different people in these book clubs, it just feels like we get towards, you know, I'm babbling at this point. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. But it just feels very much like we get towards the end and people feel like that negativity is so heavy. And then they start to think like, how long is it going to take me to get over this? Now that I'm aware of it, how long is it going to take for me to get past it? And so I think, to your point, I know this was a really long answer, but to your point, that's the piece that gets people stuck is, oh my gosh, I'm aware that it's here now. Now what do I do? And so that's when I say, like, the steps will take you through it. And once you get through the steps, whether it takes you a couple of days to read the book or a month, you will start to become aware of it and you'll start to be able to put some of that negativity to rest.
Well, I do have an example that I want you to bring forward that I heard you share before. Because in your book, you mentioned the importance of how rather than the what.
Yeah.
So give us some examples on how you use that.
Yes. Yeah, so in the book, I have a chapter, a step called Redefine the Meaning. And that's where we really start to talk about the how and not the what. And so what I mean by that is it's not what we think, it's how we're thinking about it. And so in the book, I give the example of the tiny three-letter word fat. You bring up fat to people and we all just think, oh my gosh, you know, like I either got to lose weight or, you know, I tried and it doesn't work, or I got to go on that diet. Like there's always some negative connotation, but really it's the word itself. We are giving it meaning. So it's how we are thinking about it. And so I think the last time we spoke, Kathy, I gave an example of how I was thinking of motherhood. So I've been a mother since 1998. I love motherhood. I did all the things that I possibly could. And when my youngest decided to up and move out and go to law school 2.5 hours away, I was really devastated, and I was happy for her, but I was also very, very sad because it just felt like the last scrap of motherhood I had was moving 2.5 hours away, and that was it for me. And I felt all this grief and pain in my chest, and I just felt this emptiness like that. Well, it's over. It's over for me. And then just as we were leaving to move her 2.5 hours north, I was sitting in my car, like weeping, and I was looking in the mirror, getting myself together. And I had this thought, that saying that says, you know, that there's a reason why the rear view is small. And it's because what's behind you is not nearly as important as what's out in front of you. And right when I thought that, I thought, oh my gosh, like I'm not losing motherhood at all. I am actually gaining my freedom, which I've not had since 1998. The only thing that changed in that scenario was how I was thinking about that word. And then, you know, when you think about all the words that you give meaning to all day long, and how you can change how you think about those words so that you kind of go in the direction of positivity instead of negativity, that we get a choice to determine this word and this situation is making me feel bad. I'm going to choose to reframe it and redefine what it means to me. And then I can go in that direction of like peace and inner happiness instead.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. You nailed it. Yeah.
Well, healing from past experiences, that's often a key step. So how did you approach that process?
Yes. So healing from past experiences, that's so that chapter is when I say lots of things in the book can happen very quickly. This is one that might take a little time, depending on how bad the pain is. So one of the things that I suggest in that chapter is, you know, I myself had a lot of memories from my childhood that were very traumatic, and they bothered me for decades. You know, I would pull them into my present moment because if something came up that reminded me of that memory, the emotion that was attached to it would immediately come into my present moment, and it would ruin, it could take me from being mildly happy to like crying and within seconds, just because it was so raw. And so what I started to do was visualize, and I would get quiet and I would get into the present moment, that moment that's between the past and the future. And I would get quiet and I would imagine myself going back in time and seeing childhood me and seeing my reaction. I would allow myself to feel it, but then I would comfort her. And it is amazing, even though it's a visualization, how amazing it feels when you comfort that child in you who was hurt. And, you know, I look at it as now I'm a strong, independent woman who takes care of herself. And like, if somebody got in my child's way, like they might as well forget it because mama bear is here. And so I took that same mentality back to me as a child, and I took care of her. And then I would reframe that situation and I would take control as the adult as well to deal with the other adults in that picture. There were some memories that took me quite a while to work through. There were other memories that immediately I was able to remove the emotion. So you're not getting rid of the memory. You're detaching all of that toxic negative emotion that's attached to the memory. And when you do that, then when you're in your present moment, you're not pulling all of that negativity forward with you, which allows you to have more peace and be able to create your thoughts from a calmer point of view.
Yeah. So that's really, you know, inner child work, right?
Yes.
And it's very powerful. I know I did a lot of it as well in my own healing journey, but I know for a lot of people that could be really hard to do by themselves because they don't want to go there. You know, they don't want to connect with that child and, you know, the pain that they've been through. And so if you're not able to do that on your own, like Kat was, I highly encourage you to work with a good therapist that can help you step by step get through the process, because a lot of emotions can come up and there's a lot of, you know, I know for me, there was a lot of very deep sobbing and, you know, emotional release work that had to take place for me to get rid of mine. So
Yeah.
it's not always easy.
Yeah.
Well, I work with a group of writers, of course. That's how I first interviewed Kat, was on our authors group. And a lot of the folks there are writing their memoirs. And sometimes that is a great way to go through that healing process, because you do have to kind of revisit all of those emotions when you're writing your story.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, and I hear this so many times at the other end, when they finish their memoirs, they say, "This was such a healing process for me." And I
Yes.
hear that so often.
Yep,
Yeah.
it's
It's just,
cathartic.
in other words, it's a way to get that out so that you're not carrying all of that around.
Exactly.
Wow, powerful
Like
stuff. If anyone has
she
any questions, yeah, jump in. If you have some questions, all of you, I think you're set up where you can, yep, you can talk. So if you want to just unmute and ask Kat a question, feel free to do so. Now, your book emphasizes the power of positive thinking and gratitude. Now, how do these practices contribute to creating a happier and more fulfilling life?
Yes, so I have a step all about gratitude and love, and it really is about having gratitude and love. Or what I say to people is, if you can't generate love, generate appreciation, which is kind of like love and gratitude all mixed together, and it's that warm, wonderful feeling that you feel when you look at your something and you're like, I really appreciate this. And what I say in the book, and with that, with the step in the book, is when you sprinkle everything with love and gratitude, or you sprinkle everything with appreciation, it grows and it multiplies. And when I say everything, I do mean the things that happen that are great and the things that happen that are not great. And one of the examples I give in the book is, like, I had a job that years ago that I didn't like. I didn't think I got paid enough, and the people there weren't very nice, honestly, but I needed that level of experience for my career, and so I had to do it. And so my point to that is, every single day I could say, gosh, this is awful, these people are rude, you know, all the things, or I could walk in and say, this is for me. It's not, they're not doing anything to me. This experience is for me. I'm going to choose to sprinkle love and gratitude on what I'm doing, because I have a direction that I know I'm going in. And the more I did that, the more good I ended up bringing into my life. And I have had that as a steady practice for the last 18 or so years. And I am amazed at how it's like money in the bank. It's kind of like compound interest. So the more love and gratitude you build up, when you have a bad day, you kind of, instead of having that turn into days and days and days of a bad day, maybe you have a bad hour or a bad couple of hours, because that you've built up momentum and you're bringing things into your life that continue to bring you love and things to be grateful for.
Yeah. And your pain is
So
in
what?
your purpose is in your pain, right? So you have to go through some sort of a painful experience in your life to be able to fulfill the purpose that you have to be able to help others, right?
Yeah, love that. Absolutely.
So
It's so
what
true.
kind of practical tips can you give our listeners on how they can actually change their thinking?
Absolutely. So let's start with a few things. So I really think that if you're going to change your mindset, learning how to become present is very important. Like I said, we create from the present moment always, but if we have these chronic autopilot thoughts from our past creeping around, it's much harder to create a positive mindset. So just getting into that present moment, and I walk through, in each step, I walk through exactly how to do this. I even have questions that guide the reader so they can get there. But I think starting with that, and then redefining any of the things that are just really coming into that present moment, like I think it's very important that we redefine meanings that bring us down. And then you start applying that love and gratitude. And then what I really think makes a difference is, like we talked about at the beginning of this call, is setting the intention to have the mindset that you want to have. I call it in the book, set having a North Star. Like my North Star is inner happiness. And I have had to leave relationships, including the one that I was in for 25 years, so that I could go in a direction of waking up every day and being happy. And so I do think you have to set intentions, and then you have to make a plan and put that into action. So it's really, to me, there's not a secret formula other than learning how to be present, learning how to speak to yourself, and also using affirmations. You know, telling yourself, I mean, nobody's going to tell you how great you are the way you need to be told and the way you could tell yourself.
Wow. Powerful stuff, Kat. Rita, did you have a comment?
No, I was just going to say, I wanted to just pull something up real quick. You mentioned your relationship with God earlier, and then this speaking engagement that I have is actually going to be at a church. So it's a Christian women's conference. Mm-hmm. So those principles that I'm incorporating, I have like biblical references that go along with it. So for most of my life, I mean, I grew up in a Catholic church, and I didn't have, you know, a lot of great spiritual teaching that was really helpful for me. So like you, Kat, I probably, you know, started in my probably late 20s, early 30s, reading every self-help book I possibly could, and spirituality and all these spiritual principles. But it wasn't until I was 45 years old where I was actually introduced to the Bible and started attending a Bible-based church. Mm-hmm. All these principles are actually in the Bible, and some of the scriptures that really support, you know, having a healthy mindset. I just want to share a couple of them with you guys real quick for those who are believers and want this, because they really help me. So I'm hoping they'll help you as well. And Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So what you think is what you're going to manifest, right? That's mm-hmm. the law of attraction. It's in the Bible. It's in the book of Proverbs, right? I never knew that. And Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So, you know, if you believe and you want that for yourself and you keep focusing on that positivity every day, that's what God wants for you as well. Mm-hmm. And the big one too, you mentioned about renewing, you got to renew your mind daily. Mm-hmm. And that's in the book of Romans 2:12-2. "Do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Right. Mm-hmm. So the enemy's coming in every single day with negative thoughts, telling you all the bad things about yourself that the enemy wants you to believe. But so we have to really dig in every single day and change those negative thoughts, because they come from our childhood, the parent, the teacher, the bully mm-hmm. that said negative things about you that you believe. Yeah. So we've got to work on changing that mindset and focusing on it every day. I mean, I need a daily devotional every day, you know, to set my mind right. So I just wanted to share a few of those because for those people who were not familiar, that it's there. Right in the word from millions of years ago.
Rita, thank you so much for that. Yes.
You're welcome.
I think that's great, Rita. I love all of those Bible verses. I'm with you. I started studying the Bible. Oh gosh, it's been a long time. Well, it was probably right. It was actually before I had my transformation at 36, but the book I started with was the book of John. And I think that's the book that has like 80 or 90 times that says believe, like, mm-hmm. like truly, if you surrender yourself over, like God's going to provide for you. And the last podcast I was on, Kathy, you were on there. We talked mm-hmm. about One of my favorites is the parable where the man is laying by the pool. And this goes back to setting your intentions, right? He's laying by the pool and he wants to walk, but he's really not doing it. And Jesus says, "Do you want to walk?" And the guy's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Well, pick up your mat." And he's like, "Just pick it up." And Jesus is like, "Yeah, just pick it up and go." And I think that that's where we humans get stuck, because God says, "Go forward and trust." And we say, well, now what about this thing? And what about that thing? And what about this thing? And instead it's like, set your intention and then make a plan and put it into action and be in trust that the net will appear, because it always does.
Yeah. And in John, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers." So it's a biblical principle. This is what God wants for you. So if you are not happy, if you are living in that negativity, that is not of God. That is not the plan he has for you. That's the enemy trying to take over. So we got to turn it all around. We got to remind ourselves, put those affirmations, positive affirmations on your mirror, your sticky mirror, whether it's about your health, your finances, whatever. Whatever it is that you, that direction that's of positivity that you want to move towards, renew your mind daily. We got to repeat things over and over to ourselves for it to really start to take root. Right. So we got not just once. You can't just say that affirmation one time. It has to be a repeated thing, or just like that vision board. You know, you make that vision board of your goals and your dreams. Put it on the boards on the wall somewhere where you can see it every day, whatever that goal is that you're looking towards, because as you think about it, that's what you're going to manifest.
Yes. I love that. Yep. I do too. Thanks, Kat. Thank you, Rita. That brings us to my next point. Manifestation is a central theme in your book. Can you explain how individuals can harness that power of their thoughts to manifest their desired outcomes?
Absolutely. So I think a lot of what Rita just said, though, is fantastic. And what I believe for manifestation is, a lot of people think the law of attraction is just this, you know, genie in a bottle or magic wand, you know, and they're like, "Oh, I can't get that $1 million. I said I wanted it and I didn't attract it." And I always say, well, it's really, we each have a set point. And we each have a set point, which is what we think, feel, and believe. And that's our perception of the world. And our perception just shows up like a mirror, like a universal mirror into our lives. And so if we want something different, then we have to change our thoughts, beliefs, and emotions around whatever it is whatever we're trying to manifest. And where I kept getting stuck in the law of attraction when I first started reading about it all those years ago is, I couldn't get past the negative autopilot voices from my past. Like, they would just come forward. And so I had to study all these different books to try to figure that out. So that's why, you know, when I wrote this book, it's like, you just start out understanding negativity. And then each step of the way, if you do, and I always say just 60%, not the whole, you don't have to go boil the ocean. 60%, 40 can be negative. If you lean, you know, towards the scale a little bit to the positive, you will start to see results, because you start to change your thoughts, your feelings, and your beliefs. And one of my favorite parts in the book is, during the Law of Attraction chapter, I do a comparison on a fictional person named Emily. And I don't know if you read that part, Kathy, but I love this part. I was so inspired to write it. And the first Emily is just like, "I've had the worst day. My kids have been sick. I'm a single mom. I don't have any money." Like, basically that's kind of how she sets it up. And then every step of the way, she runs into an obstacle, and how she thinks about it brings her an amazing result that, like, really boisters her day. The day doesn't change for negative Emily, but her attitude changes, and then everything unravels for her. And that is exactly, you know, how I think about the law of attraction. Like if you are putting love and gratitude into your life and you are believing, and like we've talked about, saying those things into existence with your affirmations, and then you're changing your emotions by handling your past. So when you're in the present moment, you're adding love and gratitude, you just naturally start to bring things into your life. And then when you combine that with intention and then acting as if, you will absolutely attract those things into your life. And I talk about, I have a whole chapter of everything I've manifested, from the money to pay off my house after having to get a 30-year mortgage at 47, not knowing how I was going to make that happen, to starting, you know, at $15 an hour in a 20-hour job, becoming a VP over everything, you know, at the end of 12 years. Like I can't even tell you how much I've manifested just by doing those little things, like once I got it. Yeah. So it's very powerful, to say the least.
Believing it's already happened. It's already in your future, right?
Totally. Believe
you already have it. It's just, it's on the way, you know?
Yeah. And why not? Why? I mean, and I think to your point earlier, Rita, like God wants us, like he's like, the Bible says you can have, it's here for you. I love you. It's here for you. And we're the ones that are like, I'm not worthy, you know? And so when you change that mindset to, yeah, of course I'm worthy of this and I can have this and I believe it. I always tell myself it's out there and it just hasn't come into manifest form yet.
Right.
You know, like it's out there in energy, it knows, and it's just waiting on the right opportunity.
Right.
Well, I have a perfect example of exactly what we're talking about. When I finally decided to retire from the salon industry, and I won't go into the whole story on how I decided, but I made a decision that I was going to do an online academy, because one of the things I wanted is I wanted to be able to work from anywhere in the world. Being in the salon industry for 25 years, I had to be at a certain spot at a certain time, every hour on the hour, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week for 25 years. And so I just rebelled against all of that when I retired. And I said, whatever I do next, it is not going to have a brick and mortar location. It's not going to be, you know, where I have to be doing these appointments every hour on the hour. So I wanted something that I could run and work from anywhere in the world. So I made the decision to do the academy. Well, I wanted to have, and I felt really drawn to this, to have an international academy. And so for those of you that are on this call, some of you were with me from the very beginning and you'll get this. I had like my three best girlfriends that lived like on my block. That was the academy. But I looked forward and I named it the Kathy Benner International Academy. The International Academy.
So
and
cool.
We were very international, from like one end of the block to the other. That was the whole academy. But now I look back, I have 695 students and I have a huge, huge student base from out of the country and all over the world. I have students in Thailand. I have students in the UK. I have students in Africa. I have students in Germany. I have students in Canada.
Wow.
I had a gal the other day that signed up, and I said, well, where are you coming to us from? And she told me, and I didn't even know what she was talking about. I said, well, where is that? And it's a little tiny island off of the toe of Italy. I had to actually go look on a map to see where physically she was in the world.
Wow.
And she said, I want to do exactly what you're doing. And she said, and several people said, I needed to connect with you, meaning me. And she said, because she said, my island is so small that she said, I wanted to have a bigger audience. And she said, and since you're doing it, I wanted to tap in and see how you're doing it.
So cool.
So that is how that works. And I think, again, you just have to set your intention.
Yeah.
And then you just constantly have to push the cart in the right direction.
Absolutely. And I think it's those subconscious dreams, you know, they start when you're young, like those dreams, like you said, you dreamt of this academy, but probably at that point never imagined how it would come to pass or when it would come to pass. But I just want to encourage people that if you have a dream in your heart and it's something that you think about all the time, over and over, year after year, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Because otherwise it wouldn't be there. It wouldn't keep popping up. That's part of your purpose and part of the direction that God has for you. Because when everybody comes on this earth, the plan is already set. God already knows what his purpose is for you. So you just have to listen and not be afraid, you know, to to move forward and find like mentors like Kathy or Kat, you know, me. It's so you can move in the right direction, and God will make, you know, make people come into your path, you know, when it's the right time. You know, sometimes
well,
we want it now, but he may not have that plan from now.
I get that. And I tell my students, and so many of you on this call will know this. I always say, just follow your purpose and stay in your plan, because your tribe will find you.
Right.
Yeah. They're already out there and they'll find you. Once you start putting yourself out there, your tribe will find you. And so you just have to move forward and let your tribe find you. And sometimes it's not the tribe you were expecting. I will say that. But it's the tribe that you know is the right one, even though that wasn't maybe the first one you were expecting.
Yeah.
And that's biblical. That's biblical too, Kathy. There's a scripture that talks about how God will make place for you at the table of your enemies. So it may not be coming from who you expect it to come from.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of my biggest supporters are totally unexpected for me. But it's perfect. They're at the perfect place at the perfect time. And I love that. So Kat, tell us, how can we connect with you? And what do you have coming up next?
Yeah. So coming up next, I'm in Denver, at a women's conference called The Power of Me, and that's in 2 weeks. And I'm giving a talk called Courageous Transformation about how you can use some of the principles that we talked about today. I created a framework called Spiral Up, using, again, some of the same things we've talked about today. And I'm going to walk people through how to lean into change instead of resistant, inevitable change that comes into our lives, how we can use it to grow and to create an even better life for ourselves. So I'm doing that. And then, gosh, I have a website that has, I can't even think, I'm at the Columbus, Ohio Authors Fair downtown this summer on July 13th. I can't even remember what else is, but I have a website, directedthoughts.com, and there is a Work With Me tab, and it has the different things that I'm doing. And then I also have a fairly decent sized Instagram following. So directed_thoughts on Instagram. I interact a lot on there, and I have a blog on my website. So yeah, all the different ways.
I love it.
Yeah.
So Matt, if you would,
I was just going to say, speaking engagements, and you're doing private coaching then?
I am doing some private coaching. I was doing quite a bit, but I'm actually going in the direction of creating courses. So like the course I was just talking about, Courageous Transformation, I'm building out that course. So I intend to launch courses that actually go with the steps in my book. So I can touch more people rather than one-on-one coaching. I do some still one-on-one coaching, but not as much, just because I really want to get in front of a larger audience.
I love that. Yes. If you would, Kat, go to the chat and make sure it says to everyone, and put your website there so we can connect with you.
Sure.
And then I also, for those that want to connect with me, it's just under kathybinner.com. And I'm going to put that in the chat, and then Rita, if you would, for everyone, out to everyone, put in the chat how folks can connect with you. And do we have any questions from anyone that's listening in today? Kat, I just want to say I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been a lot of fun. This is the third time I've, the second time to interview you, but the third time I've heard about this book, and I love everything about it. I wish you all the well to all of your future endeavors in speaking and teaching and coaching. Your message is so important.
Well, I just can't thank you enough, Kathy. I mean, talk about, you know, the law of attraction. I had set up a goal to be on 20 podcasts this year. And at the very beginning of the year, you know, I just met you through the book club, and it's just amazing how things just happen. And I am so grateful for the opportunities that you've given me, and to talk about my book and promote my work. And I love the conversation, and Reed, I love everything that you were saying. I mean, this stuff, when we talk about purpose, like this is my whole heart. I could do this all day long. I absolutely love it. And so I'm just very grateful for you, Kathy, for inviting me on here and the other podcast as well and connecting me with Debbie. So I just really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Rita, any last comments from you?
No, just want to say thank you so much for being here. And I'm definitely going to connect with you on Instagram and check out your website and your book. And just thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Perfect.
Really appreciate
Anyone
it.
Anyone that wants the replay will be at kathybenner.com under the Fit as a Fiddle Plus. So with that, I think we're going to go. And thank you for being with us today. And Deepak says, thank you so much. He's listened to the whole broadcast. So Deepak, thank you for being there. He's in several of my other lanes. So
love that. Well,
so this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much. And we will see everyone next time.
All right. Thank you.
Bye,
Bye,
everyone.
Bye.
Take care.